What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, and we're at the Sports Medicine Update. I am your co-host, Dr. Josh Yellen, with Sean Reedy and Brian Duncan, of course, the Jeremy Jackson. So we're talking with Brian Duncan, the master of spine. So tell us a little bit about what you talked this morning, Brian.
This morning we were just trying to make the cervical spine easy, trying to take the spine, which causes much consternation for
people. That's a big word.
Right? Bored over there. And talk about how if we can figure out their signs in one of about four buckets, and from those buckets, you can
Tell us what those four buckets are.
So you're looking at headache.
Okay.
And so at headache, we centralize the bucket, basically the elbow to them. Or you're looking at, so there's going to be thumb to forearm, the ones that people who are in aquatic sports.
And swimmers, water polo players.
Right. You get them out of, you know. And then you have mobility. So those are people who wake up who can't swing a golf club very well. And so once you find the category.
Let's go to category one, headache. What are we looking for?
Headache. Yeah. So big question is, when you move the neck, if yes, then you've got a cervical that might cause.
Such as?
A common problem, just kids need stressed out. Just kind of keep, if you move them, if you put a finger like right here, cervical.
Okay. So let's go to bucket number two.
So that's worst symptom.
So here is a quiz for you guys. So in baseball, right, specifically in baseball, there was, and it's named after a pitcher. So when we have an alteration in the kinetic chain, right, specifically identified in baseball, we call that what syndrome? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? Dizzy Dean syndrome. Anybody ever heard of Dizzy Dean syndrome?
Heard of Dizzy Dean?
First coin from Whiting and Zernica. And Dean syndrome was a baseball pitcher. And so he was pitching and took a ground ball to his big toe, and he altered his biomechanics and ended up causing a shoulder issue.
Yeah.
Right, so we call it Dizzy syndrome. All right, go back, sir. Sorry.
Learning new things every day.
Sorry. It's like Cliff Clavin from Cheers.
I do remember, actually,
Dizzy.
The sports medicine foot analogy.
Have you ever seen Cheers? You know, Cliff Clavin comes in, he's got all this useless knowledge. Consider me your Cliff.
We're playing Trivial Pursuit. Josh is on my
team.
First pick.
I've never been.
Yeah,
I'm your guy.
Right.
So let's go back. So we have we talked about
headaches.
But now we're talking about what's the second bucket?
Centralization. Or do they have peripherals in their arm? Hand?
So let's just say going back, right? Because we always like to develop algorithms. So let's say I'm dealing with a thrower and he's got some symptoms going back down his ulnar side.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, how do you differentiate between, okay, this is an ulnar nerve issue versus this is a brachial plexus?
So, great question. I think that the rule of thumb to keep you out of trouble is start proximal. So, if you'll start, you'll generally be in degree.
Nicole Kasha did her case study on double crush. So those people that don't understand what double crush is, please explain what double crush is.
So, double crush is getting two different scaling. Anyways, being your thrower, a little bit more. Usually, you start proximal central.
Okay. Let's move on to the third bucket.
So third bucket, these are cheerleaders generally. And after trainer, you can online and the motor control test 20.
Good bowel feedback.
Yeah, so basically, and then you use a towel roll, let them off and drape it, and have them hold W's.
So those isometric exercises that, you know, we were doing in high school to strengthen up our necks, where I hold my head up against one of my other teammates' legs and I push against that for 20 seconds and back. And those are all great exercises for some of our young athletes, especially when we put the helmet on, because it increases the lever arm, increases the moment arm.
Now I sit here saying how many hours a week and how much.
Go ahead.
One of the things that I seen was at the Texas State NSC. I can't remember who presented on it, but they had a very good neck. And just, it was like a little stuff, but also a partner work with your neck who could actually sit in and you would do using a person in with a hip bridge position, doing like for X amount of time, your neck, scapular muscular, a lot of that stuff. And he was talking about that exact thing. The importance of the C spot, your neck, concussion to the whipping that I've done, being a bareback ride, and having a lot of neck from rodeo was the, I keep up on a lot of neck, neck exercises. I've got one of the neck harnesses and stuff like that. But I can absolutely tell when I have issues, I'll have to get a lot of them. So it's one of those that when you were talking about that, like that's number one thing I took out of it. I think athletic trainers, as strength and conditioning just too, in the high school setting, a lot of them were enough of. We were lucky at Rice that they actually utilized a lot of band and stuff and the head setups. Yeah. That would be the cool down.
Right.
But for like preventative, for those concussions, some of those people that use is kind of funny. You were talking deep flexor because I see a lot of, you know, forward head position, that forward position where it's kind of like the hip flexor where we've got tight hip flexors, but we've got weak hips.
Yeah.
So
that's a great analogy.
It kind of goes all together, but I don't think there's as much of an understanding of that and the state. Right. Exactly. How much did the neck...
Right. Mm-hmm. To be honest, a lot of people sore, you know, and just the way people process it, you know.
Yeah, neck pain is no fun.
Yeah.
You do some manual resisted eccentric loading on the neck.
Mm-hmm.
Flexion,
side,
all of that stuff. Extension. Yeah. You do two or three sets of that. Then for two or three days, you're not moving your neck.
Mm-hmm.
You're just locked up. It's the worst neck crick or whatever you want to call it that you've ever had.
Yeah.
But the importance of it's crazy.
So let's talk about the fourth bucket.
Mobility. So these are the opposite. You can't see into their blind spot. So you want to start with thoracic spine. Like if you don't have your ears, you're going to have your shoulder be up.
Like what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, we're all lean in. Well, that's fine, but we got to get up, you know.
Hinge of the hip,
right? Mm-hmm. And so to be honest, popping their thoracic spine, showing them how to foam roll, lay off the plinth, standing room, looped up, over. And if you can teach them that, that'll start to their shoulders and spine, move it in.
You said one thing in that was really important. A lot of athletic trainers, you know, an athletic trainer might not do the manipulation of the neck, might do some light mobilization, some light soft tissue, but the anterior aspect, that rounding, that they could work on release on the pec stuff.
Absolutely. And then to be honest, I'll use dowel rods, or you know what? It's really hard to poor posture. You've got that bar, and you're trying to stand up out of down to nothing. So you figure out weight, right? And have tight chest, tight thoracic spine. And I can weight off a dowel rod vertical. Your backside scapula. You're going to figure out how to fix it, or you're going to be cool with having that open and then getting you soft. It's brutal, but it works. You give them to get them.
And so a lot of what we've been talking about is, you know, efficient movements, right? When we talk to people about the hip, and we're talking to people about the back, we're talking to people about the neck. It's always about efficiency. So now that we have identified the four buckets, and you know, I like to develop algorithms, so that's your little algorithm, right? Tell me how you use those buckets to determine, okay, I know that this is going to be, what's the first bucket again? It's a headache, right?
Right.
Once I identify that maybe this is the splenius capitis, tell me where I go from there, and then I want you to run down each bucket.
Right. And so the nice thing is generally with key interventions, all of them typically, do they have the range? If no, then do they have the strength? Likely start
strengthening.
With motor control. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so strength. You start with, you don't want to just, you start foam rolling, and then you get a manual or function. Mm-hmm. The radicular symptoms, your base calms down. Same thing with.
So I love the, you know, when we talk about the buckets or the algorithm, I love putting them in. I think one of the bits that PETA as professional rehabilitation there, that's AT. People are good diagnosed how to implant. They don't know how to, right? So, okay, I got the, now I know. Now what do I? So I like the fact that if anybody's listening, if they want to know more information about it, how do they get in touch with it?
Yeah, so email a little bit.
What is the 99 stand?
It's Class of 99, Giga Maggie's, Road to Omaha, College World Series.
I know my Long Beach State.
Dirt bag or something.
I mean, 5 out of 6 times we take down Fullerton.
Yeah.
We got to beat them one more time. Can't do it in our own house. All right, keep talking.
Or you can shoot me a text, but I love hanging out with.
Always about interprofessional.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up with Brian Duncan and cervical spine issues. He's going to be doing a lab demonstration here pretty soon.
And
pretty good case study, the amount of neck into the head in football. I'm probably we'll sign off here and we'll see you guys back in a little bit for the sports medicine broadcast at the sports medicine update. This is Dr. Josh Yellen, Sean Reedy, Brian Duncan, Jeremy Jackson.
See y'all.
Peace.